In a day when terms mean a lot, and when preachers need to be overly simple, I tell you tonight about my conversion experience. Being saved is two things for sure. It is a definite transaction, and it is a glorious transformation. I hope I can repeat that over and over again. I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. All of my family went to the San Fernando Cathedral in San Antonio. When I was about 13, I went to junior high school and found out that in occupations class we had to give a speech. 3 minutes, teacher said, these three go Monday. Homer Martinez, Gilbert Noakes, Jimmy Russell. I can still remember them. She said, now we've been studying that you ought to know what you're going to be when you grow up. And this class is just for that purpose. Edgar Allan Poe, Junior High, San Antonio. All these little, just out of 12, teenagers. She kept hammering away. You must know what you're going to be when you grow up. About a week prior, we turned in on a little slip of paper what our ambitions were. She pulled me aside that day after school and said, I looked at yours. She said, young man, you're off target. She said, to begin with, your people do not go to churches where they preach. Now she said, you listen to me, I'm an old lady, and I've taught you kids, I've taught kids here for many a year. She said, your people go to cathedrals, and you're going to be a preacher? She said, how do you figure that? And she said, your people have large families. Preachers live a lot by faith and very little money. She said, and you are going to make a bad grade in this class if you don't change your occupation because it isn't practical and doesn't make sense to me. That's what Mrs. Crowther said in 1943 when I was 13. She said, now that's all. I've got this little slip of paper. You think about what I said. Came back to class Monday scared to death. So they let Jimmy Russell be first and Gilbert Noakes be second. And I was third. A little 3 minute speech. Then the class went on and next day, three more. I got up with mine. My little knees were knocking. They were also missing one another. I was scared. Before all of my cronies there, I said, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I said, John the Baptist was a finger pointing and a voice crying, get ready for Jesus, he is coming. And I said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a preacher. I know I'm not going to be much, just a little voice saying, get ready, because Jesus wants to enter into your life. And I went on for my 3 minutes. When I finished, I could see the frown on that woman's face. After school that day, she said, young man, you had a great chance in life to take my advice, but I fear for you. She said that. I went on through junior high, my junior year of high school, then moved to Kentucky, finished high school in Louisville. Didn't see her anymore for 17 years. I came back to San Antonio. Dr. Perry Webb, who baptized me when I was about 8 years old, was my pastor through my primary and junior and some of my intermediate life, and then I started preaching some, invited me back to preach a crusade at First Baptist, San Antonio, 1960, 17 years after my social studies occupations teacher delivered that edict to my little teenage heart. On the last day of the crusade, a wonderful congregation, maybe about 2,000 or more, a tremendous response. And the people at the front being congratulated. And then the congregation thinned out, and here come toward me two old white-haired ladies. And when I saw them, I just waited. I said, this is wonderful. This is worth everything in the San Antonio trip if nothing else happened. The first one, Iva M. Blunt, my homeroom teacher. She looked at me and said, Homa, She must have been from down south. That's what Dr. Howard calls me. He says, Homa. She said, I stood there. I sat there and you stood there, she said. And I'm still shaking my head. It's got to be a miracle. Remember how mean you were? She said you hung out the window one day during English. She was quoting all young Lochinvar's come out of the West. Of all of the knights, his steed was the best. So dauntless in this and something in war, there never was knight like the young Lochinvar. When I was hanging out the window, she said, stand up and quote that. And I did and fooled her. She said, you were so mean. And she said, son, I couldn't believe it was you. I said, well, that's what the miracle of grace is. And then the other little old lady was weeping. She said, you don't remember me, do you? I hope you don't. I said, yes, ma'am, you're Miss Crowther. My social studies teacher. Oh, she said, son, how can I ever ask you to forgive me? Or you don't remember, do you? I said, yes, ma'am. Kept me after school. And you told me that I wasn't supposed to be a preacher. And oh, she cried. And she put her arms around me and said, son, forgive me, I was wrong. And I whispered to her, Miss Crowther, I knew it then. Teenagers, if God is putting his hand on you to be a preacher or a missionary or a servant of God, all the big shots and all the folks around you may think they know more than you do. But listen, if God orders the goods, he'll pay the bill. He never fails. Just a little Mexican boy in San Antonio, Texas, when a woman came and invited me and four other sisters and brothers, two sisters, two brothers, four of us, to come to the gospel mission on Labor and Callahan Streets in San Antonio. Every time she came, my mother said, no, 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 no. More than a dozen times. One day she said, Mrs. Martinez, you must let them go. Today, Reverend J.D. Sayers is going to give them free ice cream and cookies. The kids line up at the back and they're going to give them all a treat. Now, I'm going to do my best to condense this to get us right to the very core of what God wants us to hear tonight. Finally, my mother said, okay, I'll let them go. Are you sure they won't teach them against our beliefs? My mother said, no. And so she said, all right. We were very poor. My poor father was hooked on John Barleycorn, and he didn't bring home the paycheck. He lost job. He went from one job to another. Alcohol is wonderful. It kills everything that lives and preserves everything that's dead. And my daddy was hooked on it. And I knew that if we ever got ice cream and cookies, it would probably be by grace, through faith, somewhere else, not because my daddy could pay for it or afford it. And do you know, we got going. My mother said, you can go. We got all ready, except my 13-year-old brother, who was an altar boy at St. Michael's Parish, came shooting out of that living room, told that woman, you've been here over and over and over again. My mother, as politely as she can, has told you no more than a dozen times. Can't you take a hint? We don't want to go to another church. We have our own. Thank you. And the lady walked down those steps. I can see it now as if it were just a month or a week ago. That little shack of a house that we lived in, it was a shotgun house. You kids don't know what a shotgun house is. Three rooms, one, two, three, like a barrel of a shotgun. Not only was it shotgun, it was split level. The back room had fallen off the foundation blocks. And those little mice came in wearing those little gray suits, and we used to see them. One night I watched Rat Patrol, and we didn't even have a television set. She walked away real fast, And she said, all right for you, angel. I just wanted you and Homer and Tony and Virginia and Tito to have some free ice cream and cookies. She said, but if you don't want any free ice cream and cookies, God bless you. And she took off. And my hungry, poverty-stricken brother, he was 13. We had never had ice cream and cookies simultaneously. He said, wait a minute. Free ice cream and cookies, God bless me. Nothing. Come back here. And she came back. He said, now go real slow on the free ice cream and cookie part. And she did. And my friends, in a little while, we were all on our way to this gospel mission. We had never been in any other thing but a beautiful cathedral where they sang the Mass in Latin. I can still hear my priest singing Dominus Vobiscum in Latin. We had never been in informal worship. Well, we got there late. We were about 2 minutes late, and every cotton-picking kid in the neighborhood was there. The little dirty-faced Anglo-Americans, they were there, barefooted. A few little Negroes were there. A few little Chinese were there, and a whole boatload of the Mexican children. They were all there. Rodriguez, Peña, Martinez, Hinojosa, De La Rosa, Gonzalez, they were all there. They'd heard about it, and they were there. Their little gleeful eyes, they'd heard about the bucket of ice cream. And the old man that ran the mission loved children. He led the singing. He passed out the ice cream. He did the preaching. He taught some of the Bible classes. His name was Reverend J.D. Sayers, had the prettiest white hair. We'd heard a lot of rumors. We heard that if he catches you singing real loud, boy, on the way out, he'll really lay it on you. So all of our row, we were singing those songs we'd never heard just as loudly as we could. When we walked in, they were singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Our people had told us, our priest had said, don't go to those churches. They're a bunch of hallelujahs. So when we walked in and heard that, we were of all men most fear-filled. We joined in, however, and sang. In a minute, he hit the chrome dome bell and zoom. We went to the bucket of ice cream. We all got served. We got home. We told my mother what a good time we had. She said in Spanish, ya fueron una vez, ya no. You have been one time, no more. She was filled with insecurity. She knew that we were in some way reached by the love of that man and that real kind thing that he did for all of the children on the way out. My brother that was 13 snuck away Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and heard 3 sermons. Now remember, back then it was in Latin. Now it's different. I am not being in any way negative. Please don't read that into it. He had never heard clear-cut sermons. I mean sermons that say every man on this earth is born of Adam and he has in him a nature that leans toward wrong. He needs to be born again. The bridge from sinful man to sinless God is Jesus Christ. And again I say, it is a definite transaction when you're converted to Christ. It is a glorious transformation. My brother had never heard that. He heard Monday night. He snuck away Tuesday night. He heard Wednesday night. And by Wednesday, a Latin American woman had already run to my house. And our people can talk oh so fast. She said in Spanish, su hijo ya fue la misión el domingo y 3 otros días. Vale más que se cuide. Lo van a hacer hallelujah. Válgame Dios. That last little ditty means God forbid that they make your son one of those hallelujahs. And oh, among our Spanish-speaking people, one of the worst things you can do is to change from going to the cathedral to some of these churches where they sing and preach like they did on Labor and Callahan streets. My daddy, who was a real good spanker, he was a good disciplinarian, very patriotic in his whippings. He laid one on me one time and I saw the stars and stripes forever. My daddy said, if you go back to that mission, son, you're going to get the beating of your life. ¿Oíste eso? His answer was, sí, señor. My daddy said, now, did you hear that? He always wanted a confirmation. My brother said, yes, sir. Do you know where Big Brother went the next night? He was at the little mission where they would sing in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. That night, a layman preached. The old gray-haired superintendent spotted that little bony, brown-skinned Latin American boy and came and stood by him, put his arms around him during the singing of the invitation. Said nothing. My brother looked up, and when the old man looked down, a few warm tears fell from his eyes on that little blue denim shirt. My brother felt his little body quivering, and then the old man said, "Son, I've seen little Latin American boys in this neighborhood grow up without the Lord Jesus Christ and the advantages He gives you, and wind up in jail, in the penitentiary, in theft. And what could keep you from that unless you let Christ come into your heart? Why don't you go up there and be saved?" My brother said, "Sir, I'm going to get a whipping for being here tonight. I can't. I go to the cathedral. I'm an altar boy. I can't go up there." The old man stood there, and in a minute the Holy Spirit of God broke a little 13-year-old boy's heart, and Angel Martinez came and dropped to his little bony knees at a little altar. They had a lot of precious personal workers there. One of them came and knelt beside him and started showing him in black and white the promise of God. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to know how to be saved? Come to me after church and I can show it to you in black and white. It is a definite transaction. It is a glorious transformation. My brother was saved. He got home. My mother used to take up for us. She used to say, "Manuel, don't spank them anymore," because my daddy spanked so often and so effectively. And my mother would say, "Don't spank anymore." That night she said, "Take him in there and you give him a good one." Last night he got a fair warning. He openly defied you. Do it. And do it upright. My daddy put some purple marks on that boy's back with a razor strap on his back and said, "If you ever go back to that church again, on top of those that you now have, I'll add more. Do you hear me?" "Yes, sir." You want to know something? The Holy Spirit of God is more powerful even than a father's admonition. The only time you teenagers or you young people ought to revolt against your parents, the only time that heaven looks down on it, is when you choose Almighty God. Make sure you're choosing God before anybody else. Parents, kings, queens, princesses, whatever. My brother went back. Every night he'd sing. You know, my brother was an A and B student all through his academic life. Very brilliant. Now, his little brother wasn't that way. Now, my brother graduated from Breckenridge High School in San Antonio with a Sigma Epsilon pin, a gold pin, the only Latin American in the history of that school up until that time to have that straight A pin that he was able to keep all of the years that he was there. He graduated cum laude. Somebody said, "How'd you graduate?" I answered, "I graduated, oh, Lordy, how cum." That boy drank up every sermon. Every night he'd sneak away from home. He'd sit there at that little mission with his elbows on the back of the bench and his hands holding up his chin, and he drank up every sermon. Do you know it got so hot back home? My big brother, 13, ran away. It was in the summer. And the minister fixed him a little place in the back of the mission. The mission was a little cracker box building and a little bitty parsonage by it. And he put an army cot there and let him stay. And my brother worked mowing the lawn, whitewashing the fences. And you know in those little humble churches, they pass out the songbooks every night and then they take them up so that they won't find their way to different houses. And he would help take up the songbooks every evening to earn his board and room. He stayed away from home 5.5 weeks, and during that time, he literally drank up, he absorbed every preacher. And that pastor there was amazed. He'd say, "Angel, did you like the sermon last night?" "Yes, that preacher preached on launch out into the deep. He said this, he said that, he said the other." And so you know what the preacher said on Wednesday of the fifth and one half week that my brother had been converted, he said, do you know this is like a rescue mission and we have church every night and you are going to preach Sunday night. I cannot get a layman or a speaker or a retired minister on any night, on any Sunday night. We have them Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And he said, Angel, I can't get a speaker. And he said, God has told me you can preach Sunday night. My brother said, Reverend Sayers, you've been so good to me. I'm going to do it because you've asked me, but I'm scared. I'm unable. The preacher said, God is able. They put it in the paper. My mother has some old yellow newspapers of my brother's picture that was in the paper. A Bible over his heart. That was protocol back then. You hold a Bible over your heart. A picture of a little minister. It said 13-year-old wonder boy to preach his first sermon at the International Gospel Mission, Labor and Callahan Streets in San Antonio. He got up that Sunday night. Out of curiosity, my mama said to us in Spanish, vamos a ir a la misión, no canten, no oren, no hagan nada. Mírenme a mí si no saben qué hacer. She said, that isn't our church. We're just going to go see what he says. Don't sing, don't pray, don't do anything, and if you don't know what to do in that new church, watch me. That's what my mother told us little children. I recognized some of the hymns. And then they said, and now, for his first sermon, Angel Martinez. And my brother, a little bitty, short fella, dark. You know when our people play baseball like us kids played baseball? Out in the hot sun, you get blacker than the ace of spades because we take that sun in easily. He was dark, a little short fella, little boy face, 13. He opened up his Bible, and to hasten on, he delivered a sermon. You'd have thought he memorized it, rehearsed it, and produced it privately maybe 20 or 30 other times. It came beautifully, just pyramiding, fitting, and built up to the last story that he told. He told a lot of Bible stories. The last one was authentic and personal. He said, and as I close, he said, right about where I'm pointing, I dropped to my knees 6 weeks ago and opened my heart and got saved. And I'm a Christian, and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And he said, I'd like for all of you to do the same thing, because many of you, my friends, are here who need to be. He recognized for the first time my mama, sister, brother, sister, and the youngest in the family, 5 years old, the evangelist. And he told me a year or two later, I promised God that night, Homer, while I was giving the invitation, that if he would just save Mama, being saved is a definite transaction. It is a glorious transformation. If he would save Mama, I'd give God my life in the ministry. Friends, 3 verses and nobody came. But my mama went like this. And I was 5. I watched everything. I had those little black eyes that stared at nothing and saw everything. I watched her. And then the tears started flowing. And then her little mouth started trembling. And I couldn't understand it. She said, watch me. Don't do this nor the other. Watch. And I said, I'm watching. Look at her. At the beginning of the 4th stanza, she covered her little face and the little sobs broke open. And she said, un lado, Homerito. One side, little Homer. And I backed out. My mother brushed by me and came down that middle aisle with her hands over her face, just enough to see. And the little preacher, when he really, really, really recognized her, ran down to meet her. And when they met mid-aisle, I heard her little voice in Spanish all the way to the back of the building. She said, Jesucristo solamente. Jesucristo, nadie más. Jesus, Christ, alone, only Jesus, I receive, I accept, a definite transaction, a glorious transformation. If you could have been there, it was like a great choir crying in unison. Everybody was sobbing. And you could hear some of those dear little poor people that went to the mission faithfully say, do you know who that is? Do you know the gist of this? This little boy got beaten for coming here. He ran away. This was his first. That's his mother. And the sobs and the groans of joy because God had performed a modern day miracle in that little humble San Antonio mission many years ago. Here comes my sister. Here comes my other brother. He was just 9. Anybody here 9 that needs to be saved? It isn't too early. He was just 9. 10 years went just like that. 10 years later, a German soldier drew a bead on him in Luxembourg in the bulge, those snows of that Battle of the Breakthrough, and sent some lead burning into his body, and he never came home again. But we're going to see him. We'll see him again. Tito came and knelt and was saved. And exactly 10 years later, he possessed his possession in heaven. It isn't too early to be saved at 9. My sister, Tony, 7, she came. I was in that aisle a little like a little orphan. And they were singing, be saved, oh, tonight, oh, why not tonight, be saved. And a little voice said, go on, you go on. And if you don't go on, you're going to be sorry tomorrow. Do you know, my family right now is amazed. I can remember all the kids I played with when I was 4 and 5. I can remember all of the houses we lived in. We lived on 211 Newton Street and 305 Garfield Alley and 520 Goliad and 628 and a half Victoria Street. I can remember, I don't know why, they're indelibly printed in my mind, those little places. Every time the rent was up, my daddy would gather us together. We were broke. It was during the Depression, and we'd move at night and move in somewhere else. How well I remember. A little voice said, go. And I went. And when I got to the front, I don't know how I got there so fast, my big brother met me, the preacher, with a big Bible. He said in Spanish, ¿qué quieres? What do you want? I said, yo quiero ser salvo como mama y los otros niños. I want to be saved like mama and the other kids. He said, estás muy chiquito, vuelve a tu asiento. You're too little, go back and sit down. I went all the way back, so brokenhearted. But when I got back there, there was my bench almost all empty. Everybody had come to the front. And a little voice, and I tell you from my heart the truth, a little voice said, go, or you're going to be sorry tomorrow. And I felt like I had a golf ball stuck in my throat. And I felt like somebody was pressuring me right here on my little heart. And so he said another verse, because this is my family and I didn't even know they were coming to church. And God has saved them. I went all the way back, so brokenhearted. But when I got back there, there was my bench almost all empty. Everybody had come to the front. And a little voice, and I tell you from my heart the truth, a little voice said, go, or you're going to be sorry tomorrow. And I felt like I had a golf ball stuck in my throat. I felt like somebody was pressuring me right here on my little heart. And so he said another verse, because this is my family and I didn't even know they were coming to church. And God has saved them. And I made a beeline in some horrible little homemade trousers that my mother had made for me. Those little trousers I chugged as fast as they let my legs span, and I got to the front and knelt down beside my mama, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and she looked up from her praying posture and looked at me in a new burst of tears, and she said in Spanish, el bebito de la familia, ¿qué haces? The baby of the family, you're the littlest in the family, what are you doing? I said, I want to be saved. And I said, I already came once, and he sent me back. And my mother said, son, I don't know anything about this church. But she said, here's a Spanish Bible. Listen. And I listened. And if I had the speak ability of William Jennings Bryan, if I were an orator of orators, I could not reproduce the euphonious, the pleasant sounding sweet voice of that little mama of mine as she read John 3:16 in Spanish to her little baby, 5-year-old boy, porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. My friends, say what you will and think what you want. That's the night that God spoke Spanish. My Lord Jesus Christ came into a little 5-year-old boy's heart. We didn't speak much English. It was rather chopped up and accented. We spoke a lot of Spanish at the house. After I let Jesus into my little heart, the preacher said, "This has been a great night. Now you come and shake hands with all of these that have been saved." And especially Mrs. Martinez and her children. And they'd come and shake hands with my mama and the next big one and the next big one. And since we were at the tail end, me and Tony, we were both about the same size. Her name was Marie Antoinette. We just called her Tony. We were both there. I have a picture of it. If you ever come by my house over here on Rincon Way, I have a picture of everybody at the mission. I was a little bitty piece of burnt toast. That was my nickname. I was so dark and charred from playing in the sun. Little bitty fella. I was underweight. You know, the Spanish people are real little because they don't eat very many vitamins. And you go to Mexico, and as a rule, they're all short like the Chinese. Part of it is dietary. You go to their table, and there's some beans and some rice. And then baptized under that with hot sauce, or they put it over it. And if maybe there's 3 vitamins over here on the pintos and about 4 vitamins on the rice, after they pour that hot sauce over them, those 7 vitamins go, ugh, and they die. And then we eat all of that dead food, and it isn't very nutritious. I'll never forget one day an Anglo-American school teacher told my little sister, "You go home and tell your mother to feed you greens. You're too little." My daddy said in broken English, "You tell her that woman you eat a green pepper. That's good enough." They shook hands with all the big ones. When they get to us, they kind of smile and round off. You know how earthbound and unspiritual some of us adults can be. We'd rather see an old man, 99 years old, come to Jesus than see a 5 or a 9 or wherever God convicts. If God does it, friend, don't you sweat it. He won't make a mess after he gets in. Guarantee you that. They didn't believe. We were too little. We were underweight and underfed and undersized. And it was just too good to be true. They didn't believe it. And so I felt it. As a little boy, I sensed the lack of love. So after about 15 of them flagged us, my little sister in broken English said, "Oh, you saved?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "The big ones don't believe it. They don't shake your hand." I remember I told her one time, "That's okay, I forgive them." I did. Now, right after I was converted, my brother sat me down and every day taught me memory verses. I knew about 300 for memory when I was 8 years old. So I used to quote scripture in public before he preached in those little tent crusades that we had in San Antonio. My first sermon came at the age of 11. Now let me go back to the closeout. That night after the mission, we went home. My daddy had a night job. He was supposed to have gone to work. He didn't. He was waiting. My daddy was very careful never to swear around us children because although he had a few bad habits, he didn't allow that one in our home, swearing. But that night, my friends, all of the rules broke. And my daddy already had heard about it. He said, "They've already told me that you went down to the front and did what they call got saved at that hallelujah church." He said, "We're not going to have any of that." And he shook his fist in my mother's face. And he said, "You'll never go back to that church again." Do you hear me? Virginia, my mama said yes. And we were all scared and we hovered around her and we're crying. And my mama said, "Manuel," that was my daddy's name, "if I have to cross the street and live under the pecan tree and have to take in washing to feed these children. Because you don't want us anymore because we know Christ. She said, you go. I'm not going to go to church like you say, but I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus Christ and what He is doing for the children. And my friends, it was lonesome for about 6 months. Talk about persecution from without. We had persecution in the living room. My dad. And then our friends from the cathedral came over and said, oh, you've done terrible. Did we? Did we? With a definite transaction in Christ and a glorious transformation, did we do terrible? Let time prove what we did. Here I stand, like Martin Luther the Reformer. I can't do any other. I've been saved. I'm His. He is mine. Hell is behind me and heaven is ahead of me and Christ is within me. And I can't deny that. Something happened. I close. 20 years later, while I was a seminarian at Fort Worth, I invited my mom and dad to my house. Emily cooked for them every day. We treated them royal so that my daddy could be in that little open-air revival over there on Hartman Road near the Mansfield Highway in Louisville, in Fort Worth. And there I preached every night to my daddy. I ignored that other 479 people that were there. We had nearly 500 chairs in the open air. We outcrowded the little bitty auditorium. And I preached to my dad every night. And one night on Thursday, I said, if you really are serious about ever becoming Christian, while heads are bowed, just raise your hand, meaning pray for me. Only two hands went up. A person over here and my 57-year-old father over here. And when that hand went up, I already knew it. I'd been praying for it. It wasn't a surprise. It was a little early. I thought, Lord, I thought we were going to break him up real good and bomb him and strafe him with the gospel, and then Sunday morning he'd be converted. But here it is Thursday. And my dad's hand went up, a phenomena that was new. Never had he done that. And when I saw that, I knew that the wings of healing and grace were on the way. I said, if you that raised your hands are really serious when we sing, come here, have a seat, and open your heart and identify with Christ to be your Savior. No sooner did the first song, sentence of the song, here comes my dad. I looked again. I think I counted every step. He didn't come sit down. He came and fell in the dirt on the turf in that open-air meeting, covered his face and bowed his head. And he wept like a little child. And I was down there with him. A lot of the seminary students were there. Bill Henson, who's the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was leading the singing for me during that meeting. A lot of the other folks were there that knew us. There was that 57-year-old man weeping. Finally, he wouldn't talk to me. Finally, when he lowered his hands from a tear-drenched face, he said, son, my preacher boy, tell me one more time, will God save a sinking particle of dust like your daddy? Oh, I try to hold composure. I try my best to fight back tears when I see the Holy Spirit move in many of our meetings. And I succeed for the sake of those that have to listen and need to hear a coherent message, but that night I couldn't. My sobs and my tears and my quivering, shaking body and my cup runneth over, and I was crying, and I said, Dad, the Bible clearly says that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed your transgressions from you. He has, if you've opened the door. He says, I've opened the door, son. My dad stood up, and I stood up with him. He put his arms around me in front of that big crowd. I don't know if they knew what was going on. I thought he was going to break every bone in my body. He embraced me. He wept. He said, I'll do anything for this Jesus. I'll do anything for this Christ who has saved me tonight. Now, how can you put that in words totally? 6 years ago on his deathbed, I said, oh, Daddy, cheer up. You're going to get well, and we'll come back home here. They live in Austin, and we'll have another good party and eat all of that good festive food that we eat. I had it on a cassette. I put the little mic up. He said in Spanish, no. And I said, what do you mean, cheer up? He said, no, I'm not coming home to Austin. I'm not going to make it, son. I said, okay, I've tried to cheer you, and you're right. How is it with your soul? He said, I have him by the hand. And he said, step by step, we're going in together. There's no one else to lead me but Christ. And a few days later, the phone call came. The death angel kissed away his breath. And tonight, Angel Manuel Martinez, my father, shifted gears, moved from Austin into heaven to live forever, a world without end, with Jesus Christ. How? Come. Because one day he got saved. What's that? That's a definite transaction. That's a glorious transformation. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the way your people have listened. Oh, may they never forget this night. And oh Lord, many need exactly what you have to offer. Have thine own way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and for his sake, we ask it again and again.